You know, one day I'm going to give up the ghost. And so will you. One day. But the question is, when you give up the ghost, where will you spend eternity? And I don't know about you. I am persuaded. I am sure that when he calls me to the other side, I know where I'm planning on being.
Amen.
In the resurrected
yes.
day.
Amen.
I'm going to be right there with the Lord. Now, whether you're there or not, well, that's something you're going to have to give an account of. But while I'm in this tent, Paul said, of this tabernacle, I want to stir up your mind by way of memory. Peter says it's best that you don't know the truth than to know the truth and turn from the truth. I'm learning you can turn from the truth by just not assembling. Amen. I ain't into my lesson yet, but this ain't going to cost you nothing. I've learned that by you not doing everything you can to spread the gospel of Christ, you might hear the words, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you.
That's right.
And I don't know about you. When I take that final breath, I want to be able to hear those words, well done,
yes, good.
Thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what I look forward to. I've tried everything else on this time side of life.
Amen.
Oh, y'all looking at me funny like y'all haven't? Keep a living. And I've learned something. That without God, life has no meaning.
Amen.
In the midst of everything that goes on in my life, Sister Harmon can only comfort me so much. My kids can only comfort me so much. I have a comfort that surpasses all understanding. And you know where I get it from? I get it from the man of Galilee that died on the cross. That said, if I trust him, he won't put no more on me than I can bear. Boy, I don't know about you. That's the kind of guarantee I like on this time side of life. Number 15, before we get into our lesson. Mansion, robe, and a crown. You know, I got that right now.
That's right.
Come on, y'all don't look at me funny. Y'all don't have a mansion?
Yes.
I don't care if it ain't got before three walls and the windows are out. You got a mansion. You ain't got no robe? I'm sorry for you. I got a couple of them. You need one? And I got my crown.
There you go.
You know where my crown comes from? The day he died on that cross and he resurrected and I obeyed from the heart the gospel and went into the watery grave of baptism, I got a crown. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 that he's going to give me that fadeth not away. What you saying, Stan? We kings? We queens?
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't know that? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just take a few minutes. Turn and look at the queen and the king next to you. Come on, y'all. Y'all having a hard time too. Church, somewhere down the line, God's people have to have the reassurance and the confidence that comes from the Word of God. If you look at the world in which we live in, and if you go back into the history of the world in which we live in, you're going to see some things that really don't surprise me. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon said there's nothing new under the heavens.
Yeah.
Chapter 3 says there's a time for everything.
Yeah.
And you know what time it is now? It's time for you to get back into the kingdom business. It's time for you to get busy, stop doing your business and doing the Lord's business.
Amen.
I tell you what, if you don't, Judges chapter 21 and round about verse number 25, the Bible said in those days there were no kings in Israel. Every man did what he thought was right.
Wow.
And it's all right. Tell me that ain't going on today. From the White House to your house.
Amen.
You're doing everything that you think is right in your own eyes. And God says he's a jealous God. The Hebrew writer says he's a consuming fire. Yeah, he's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a merciful God. And we're going to see that this morning. But he's also a very jealous God.
Amen.
He says you can't have any other gods before him. And you know, Super Bowl is going to take. Let me go on. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Indeed, one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, said, we're going to give an account for everything that is done in the body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Verse number 11, Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. Wow. And I don't know about you, I know the terror of the Lord. I remember after they came out of Egypt and they got to the Red Sea, Moses showed Israel the power of the God in which they serve. But they were just like you and I, grumbling, complaining. You had brought us all the way out here to die in the wilderness. Boy, isn't that us? And Moses told them, be still and observe the power of God. God parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land, seeing Pharaoh's army no more. And no sooner than they got over there on dry land, you know how we are. Got a loaf of bread in both arms, grits in the pantry, a few dollars in your pocket, and it still ain't enough. Yeah. See? No sooner than they got on the other side, we need some meat. Wow. God brings manna from heaven. And you know when their bellies get so tight, we need some meat. You know how we are. It's just never, ever satisfied with what God has to offer us. The Bible said God fed them quail. And then after a while, and they got real full and tight, they got to complaining even that much more. And so as they get close to the Jordan, as they prepare to go into the wilderness, God said, I need you to do something for me. I need you to pick out 12 men. Why 12? Because there's 12 tribes of Benjamin. Come on, y'all. You know your Bible. The Bible said he picked out 12 men. He said, I want you to go into the land that I promised you. A land that you don't have to worry about. You ain't built nothing. You haven't prepared nothing. But guess what? Because you belong to me, it's yours. Boy, that's the God. I don't know who you serve, but I serve a God that is alive and well. The Bible said they go into the land and they spy out the land. How many days? Anybody know your history? How many days? 40? Come on, y'all. But that's okay. I could be wrong. I don't know. But they spy out the land for 40 days. The Bible said they come back and they bring this report to Moses and the children of Israel. Indeed, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know, there's a problem there. There's some people there, and they're some big people. They're so big that we look like grasshoppers in the midst. How many of y'all got the grasshopper syndrome? We live in a world that is all messed up. But do you have the grasshopper syndrome, or do you have the power that comes from the Word of God? And the Bible said 10 of those men from the tribes of Benjamin went out through the entire congregation and they spread it, an evil report. But Joshua, a young man, and Caleb, an old man, said, we can do it. We can do it. But the Bible says their hearts became so hardened that God made a decree. For every day you spied out the land that I told you you could have, you're going to wander in the wilderness. See? 40 years, wow. They wander in the wilderness because of disobedience to God. How long you been wandering this morning? Are anybody here wandering in the wilderness? See, when you don't do things God's way, whether you know it or not, you can have all the niceties of this world and be in the wilderness and just not know it.
Amen.
That's not my lesson, but that didn't cost you anything either. This morning, I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 9. Text we've been looking at for the past weeks or so. Chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. Jesus here looks at the multitude of people. And I don't know about you, when I look at the world in which I live in, I have some serious concerns. I have concerns about my grandson. I have concerns about my granddaughter. Because I don't know
if the world can get any wicked than what it is.
Amen.
But it probably will.
Yeah.
And so therefore, as I look at them, I got to look at me. Am I doing all I can to make sure that they keep their hand in the hand of the man from Galilee? Am I doing all I can to make sure that I make my calling an election shoe?
Amen.
Somewhere down the line, you're going to have to ask yourself these same questions. Because as the world continues to evolve, and as day by day come upon us, you're going to need somebody that's going to help you. And I don't know but one person, and that's our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as I look at this world, I really have some concerns. Jesus, as he looked out over Israel, the Bible says, when he saw S-A-W, he was willing to sacrifice. He had an attitude to sacrifice. And he wanted to worship God the way God had told him to come to worship him. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved. He was motivated. He was obedient. And he valued his relationship to his God. That's why he was enthused enough to die on the cross. The Bible says when he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted. Oh, I got one here that you ain't ready for that one yet. Because this one right here, I had to repent a couple times. So you ain't ready for this one. You might be, but I wouldn't. But the Bible says because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Interesting. Jesus looks out at the crowd of people and he's moved with compassion. Title of the lesson before I go any further: what compassion looks like and what compassion does. See, compassion is something that looks like something, but also true compassion is something that it does. And I want to show us this morning that you can have compassion on everybody. I have compassion on a whole lot of folk.
Right.
But do I really? Because true compassion moves me beyond the physical to do something for an individual to bring him or she out of their misery. The Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Faithful, edified workers. The laborers are few. And then he says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. See, Jesus here is moved. He's moved physically, spiritually, to act upon the condition of the people in which he sees. He's so willing to act upon it that he went on to the cross to die for their sins, to reconcile them back to his Father. And so what does compassion look like and what does it do? I want to show you. Go to Luke chapter 17. I want to show you what compassion looked like. And then I want to show you what compassion will do, not caring about his own life. Powerful stuff. Because when I think about this word compassion, and compassion is something that you look at an individual's misfortune, but it should move you to act upon their misfortune. You know, it's real easy to give $2 to somebody with a sign.
Amen.
But you know what compassion really is to take the sign, put him in the car, and take care.
Oh,
y'all don't do that? Maybe you don't really have compassion. Because compassion moves you beyond just mere words. It causes you to do something regardless of that individual. And I want to show you in this text that Jesus didn't worry about his life. He had no concerns about his life whatsoever because he saw the need and he moved with compassion upon these individuals to heal them. These individuals I'm talking about were 10 lepers. Little quick history. Leprosy was an outcast for those people that had it. You know, it may be maybe equivalent to AIDS. But leprosy was very prevalent. You could see it
These individuals were outcasts, probably didn't have many friends, and if they had family, they didn't stay close to them. They stayed outside of the city. And the reason why? Not to contaminate the entire city. And when you came into the city, and these lepers were there, they had a responsibility to holler out leper so you wouldn't catch the disease. But I want to show you a man that wasn't worried about a disease. Okay. Because I read that he is the great, he's the great physician. I don't know what you read, but I read he's the great physician. And so as he comes in contact with these individuals, no doubt these individuals must know something about Jesus. Because they don't cry leper. See, I don't know what you cry when you stand in need. See, I don't cry for Sister Harmon to help me. I cry for God to help me. Then Sister Harmon can help me up off the floor. Amen. Church, I've learned some stuff. I cry for Jesus first. And then I hope and pray that she close by or somebody's close by to help me out of the condition that I'm in. I want you to see that these individuals here, that as Jesus comes up on the scene, these individuals recognize who he is, and they're not calling out leper to cause him to go on the other side. They cause him because he's moved with compassion. Look at what it says. Luke chapter 17. And round about verse number 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The Bible says in verse number 13, and they lifted up their voice and said, you talk about harmony. You talk about unity.
Yeah.
You know, they wasn't worried about nothing but Jesus being able to take care of them. But they're no different than you and I. You know, when you got things going good, yeah. Let me turn around so y'all don't get upset. When everything seems like it's going on an even path, you know, and everything is taken care of and all the bills are taken care of. And boy, you can go here, go there. And boy, you're just having a hallelujah good time, but Jesus ain't nowhere in the midst.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know how we do. You know, first day of week roll around, you're on a cruise. You ain't got time to go to no church. Come on.
Right.
Or you go on a vacation somewhere. You don't hunt for the church so you can assemble with the saints.
No.
The saints have to just wait till the next time. Not y'all. But it's interesting here. They see Jesus afar off. And in harmony, they got a message for him. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 14, and when verse 13, and they lifted up their voice and said, Master, have mercy on me. Is that what your Bible says?
Us.
Do you see some unity there? Do you see some harmony there?
Yep.
See, when I see these individuals, they are brought into a situation that requires a certain mindset. The circumstances and situations have caused them to depend upon somebody that is able to help them. They recognize Jesus. How about you and I? When we go through all kinds of stuff, do we recognize the power that we have that comes from Christ? If Jesus said all authority has been given unto him in heaven and in earth, and he says, I've left you an example, what kind of power do we have? Huh? Y'all don't have no power? I'm sorry to hear that. You know what power I have? I have the power to overcome all of the obstacles because I got God on my side. 1 Corinthians 15, around about verse number 12, Paul says, take heed how you stand, lest you fall. There's no temptation that has overtaken you, that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. God, church, I don't know who you have on your side, but I got the power of God. And as long as I walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, 5 and 6, as long as I walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what? His blood constantly cleanses me. And I have that relationship with the Father. These lepers cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. Verse 14, the Bible says, and when he
saw them. I want you to see that. See, when you look through the eyes of Jesus, you see people in a totally different light. You don't see them based upon their color. You don't see them based upon their financial situation.
No.
What you really see is they might need a savior. Amen.
Amen.
That's why he left you and I the keys to the kingdom. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone that believeth. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He left you and I the keys.
Amen.
But do we understand what he's left us? The Bible says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Man, oh man. You talk about a testimony.
Wow.
But I want you to see that they no different than you and I.
No.
You know, when God takes care of all of your little basic fundamental needs, mm-hmm. and you know, he makes you feel good, look good, and you know, you're going to the gym and you've got it all together. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
Why you forget all about him? Don't you see something? These individuals, how many was there?
Ten.
Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 15, and one of them, when he, S-A-W, see, he recognized what God has done for him. Have you? Have you recognized what God has done for us as members of the body of Christ? What has he done for us?
Everything.
He's freed us from our sins. Should you shout?
Yes.
Should you be thankful?
Amen.
Should you have an attitude of a gratitude of doing what he commands you?
Amen.
Then why aren't you? I like fishing, but well, you know, y'all keep y'all mouth. All right, come on in here. But church, the Bible says in verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, glorify God. Fell down on his face. Why did he bow down on his face? Why did he worship the Savior? Because that shows a sign of reverence. Oh, yeah. See, when you understand what God is doing for you, boy, you just empty yourself out and say, God, I know I ain't much, but use me to your glory. When's the last time you told God to use you to his glory?
Wow.
Huh? Oh, yeah. And you got to be careful when you say that. Because
yep.
his glory might be to take you out of here.
That's right.
Oh, maybe that's why we don't say that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, and he fell down. And when, verse 16, and he fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? you think Jesus looked for you when you ain't here? Huh? On first day of the week, when first day of the week rolls around, you don't think Jesus is looking for you to be around this table?
Yes.
Amen.
And do you not think that he's waiting on you to be here with the right frame of mind, the right spirit,
Amen.
The right attitude?
Amen.
So you can fill up in here and go out there to work? Oh yeah, Jesus is looking for you. And when you're absent, I wonder what he thinks. I'll leave that up to you. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto, were there not 10, but where are the 9? Are there not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Thy faith has made thee whole. See, compassion. It's just not mere lip service.
No.
But true compassion is willing to empty yourself out for someone else. These 10 lepers recognized their problem. And they recognized that when they saw Jesus, there was an answer to their problem. Church, what I'm trying to tell you is that when we recognize that Jesus is the answer to the problems that we face in our everyday life, he's the answer to the world's problem. But see, in order for the world to recognize him, it requires humility. It requires submission. It requires humbling oneself that God can work through them. These individuals were outcast because of their disease. No doubt they had very little dealings with the people. No doubt that when people entered into the city, they had but one thing to say, and that was leopard, to cause people to move away from them. But when they recognized the man from Galilee, when they recognized that God was here on earth, they knew that they could be healed by just merely asking him. And in the process of those 10 being united, they became divided, because after they got their needs met, they no longer needed Jesus Christ. That's a powerful message. Are we in the same boat? When we stop and we recognize that we need the Lord, do we stop and really give him the glory that's due him? When I look at all of these individuals in the Bible that have gone on before us, they gave God the glory that was due him, no matter what transpired in their lives, because their faith, their trust, their hope was in God and what God had promised them. I want to leave you with a couple passages of scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. Their faith, Jesus said, his faith made him whole. And I'm learning that without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But I want to show you some individuals that by faith was able to endure no matter what transpired. Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 7. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after inherit, should receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. See, when God calls you into service, you don't question him. How many of y'all go on a job and question the boss when he tell you to do something? Huh? Even if it's dangerous, most of the time you're going to do it, because he tell you to hit the dough. So when Jesus tells us to do something, do we question? The Bible said Abraham, when he was called to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, to leave his father's house, the Bible said he went out not knowing where he was going to go. Wow. Why? He depended on God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and guess what he will do? He will direct your path. I don't know who told us we know how to walk right.
Right.
Somebody told us that lie, and that's a lie.
Right.
Jeremiah chapter 10 and round about verse number 23. Oh Lord, I know it's not in man to walk us, to direct his own footsteps. If you don't know how to walk right, when you going to give up and let God?
Right.
Huh? If you don't know how to live your life for him, when are you going to surrender and say, Lord, use me to your glory? These individuals did that. The Bible says in verse number 9, by faith, he sojourned in lands of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For they looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Boy, I wished I had time. Because I don't know what we're building for. As a matter of fact, I got a lesson called Building for the Future. You so busy building for the future, making sure your 401k is up to snuff. And if you're gray, you done already bought that policy. So when you leave here, somebody can take care of you. But have you really built for eternity? That's another lesson. The Bible says in verse number 12, therefore spring them, each one, and him as good as dead, so as many as the stars of the sky is multiplied, and as the sands which is by the seashore is innumerable. The Bible says in verse 13, these all died in faith,
amen,
not having the promise. That's what motivates me. I got a promise from God himself. And that promise, if I obey from the heart the gospel and be buried in water for the remission of my sins and live my life for him, he said he'll give me a crown that fadeth not away. Anybody got a guarantee in the world that we live in like that? I've had some guarantees, and when you call them, they say, well, your guarantee has ran out.
Yeah.
Don't let your guarantee in heaven run out. I want to encourage you, church. Compassion is Jesus. Compassion is the cross. And Jesus said, if you desire to come after me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me.
Amen.
Hope and pray I've said something to encourage your hearts. I want to remind us, as members of the body of Christ, God holds us accountable for every soul we come in contact with if we don't tell them about the saving grace of the gospel. And that's some scary stuff. To know that you can be in this thing and still get to the gate and not make it in. Those of you that are visiting, I want to encourage you. You've heard God's word this morning. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Question is, do you believe what I've said? The Hebrew writer said, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. The Bible says you must repent of your sin, Luke 13:3, 13:5. 13:1 said they had a problem because they thought that these individuals were worse off than some other individuals. But Jesus says, no, I tell you, nay. Except you repent, you will also likewise perish. You must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. That's an ongoing confession for you and I. We're supposed to confess him every day of our lives. Well, what happened if I don't? Jesus said, I'll deny you before my Father. That confession is something that each and every one of us ought to be doing every single day. Talk about the weather and talk about who made the weather.
Amen.
Oh, yes. He opens up doors. The question is, do you take the door that he opens? Then the Bible says we must be buried in water for the remission of our sins. Contrary to popular belief, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Whatever your need might be, let it be known. It's a gathering.